Papers in this session. Three of them are shear imaging, acoustic shear imaging, and one is on a different topic. I think I was asked to chair this session because this is a topic I know perhaps the least about, so I'm looking forward to learn about this. Our first speaker in this session is Matthias Pink from ESPCI, and he'll talk about transient elastography and supersonic shear imaging.
Please. Thank you. Okay, usually the talk I present are more on time reverse acoustic. This time I will speak of something else. It is what we call transient elastography, and I add supersonic shear imaging. Supersonic seems to be strange why we speak of supersonic. And you will see that there are ways to create in the body a small source of shear wave that move at a supersonic velocity. That is to say, you can create in the body Mach cone and sonic boom. And it can be a way to create a very large shear wave in the body, and we do this, and after we map this wave. Now, my talk is a general talk on soft tissue. As you know, it would be very nice to be able to make a map of all mechanical properties of soft tissue with millimeter resolution. You know that the doctor likes to do this. The doctor is making palpation all the time. He applied some stress and he's looking what happened when he applied stress. And usually he applied transient stress, and because it gives him not only an idea of the elasticity of the tissue, but also an idea of the relaxation time of the tissue. And both these important parameters, elasticity and relaxation time, are filled by the doctor in a very primitive way. It would be nice to be able to map all these parameters with millimeter resolution. Now, the body is a very complex structure, and you consider it as a solid. It is a very soft solid, and as you know, solid, you can have many kinds of solid. You can have elastic solid, which are isotropic, or you can have anisotropic solid. And as you imagine, muscle is very anisotropic, and cardiac, all the cardiac part is completely anisotropic. And of course, the first assumption will be to make the assumption that the body is a solid, an isotropic solid, without loss first. As I tell you, loss appear also. There are relaxation time. And it is not only this. Did the body is a linear solid, or did it is a non-linear solid? When you apply the stress bigger and bigger, did the elasticity constant remain the same, or did it change? And the body is all this together. Viscous, non-linear, anisotropic. But forget all this many parameters, and we will go on this step by step, but we shall assume first that the body is only an isotropic solid without loss. Now, if you just assume this, you can write this kind of wave equation for the displacement in the body. This is the dynamic equation that you have, and as you know, if you have an isotropic solid, there are two constant that give you information on the body, the two Lamé coefficient. And what is very important in the body is the following. One of these two parameters, lambda, is huge compared to mu. And lambda is practically constant in all the body. Whatever is the tissue, it is equal to 1 gigapascal. That is to say, there is a very high compressional modulus, which is practically the modulus, compressional modulus of water, and it is the same in all the soft tissue. But what changed a lot is mu. Mu, the shear modulus, it varies strongly from one position to another position. If you take some liver or some muscle, or if you take a carcinoma, mu changed a lot. Between 10 power 2 pascal to 10 power 7 pascal. This is much smaller than lambda. That is to say that shear waves that propagate at a speed which depends on mu are very slow compared to compressional wave that propagate at a speed would depend of lambda. And because of this, which is very particular to soft solid, this is not a hard solid, it is soft solid like rubber or like gelatin, and this is the body, it means that the Young modulus is practically equal to 3 times the shear modulus, that the compressional modulus is practically equal to lambda, and that the Poisson ratio is practically equal to 0.5. Now, what is very important is the following. Here, you have derivative versus time. That is to say, depending on the speed as you oscillate your body, you will see that some parameters become stronger and stronger, and some other will have not the same role. And this is very important because if you look what happened in you can have two kinds of elastic wave in an isotropic solid. You can have longitudinal wave or compressional wave, and they move practically at the speed depending of lambda, and this speed is very high, and in the body it is practically the speed of sound in water. And this compressional wave, you can produce them at any frequency. You can work at low frequency sound wave or at ultrasonic frequency, for example at 5 MHz. And this wave propagates on long distance. And typically if you work with ultrasound at 5 MHz, you have wavelength smaller than millimeter. And it is why ultrasound is very interesting to make map of a body, because it gives you millimeter resolution. Now, if you look shear wave, I forget to put in the equation the relaxation time. If you send shear wave, if you try to send shear wave at 5 MHz, forget it. Why? Because there is shear viscosity, and as you know, the absorption of shear wave depends on the viscosity and of the square of the frequency. And shear wave, if you try to make shear wave at 5 MHz, they don't propagate. Nothing to do, you cannot send shear wave. And you have a maximum limit of frequency that you can send in the body for shear wave. It is typically some kilohertz. And typically, if you want to send a shear wave that makes all the body, you are limited to 400 or 500 hertz. This is the maximum. And you can send this shear wave, and this shear wave will go at this speed, where mu is very small, and you will have shear wave that propagate between 1 and 40 meters per second. Usually it is more between 1 and 5 meters per second. 40 meters per second, it is only the skin, which has a shear modulus higher than the other tissue. And these are low speed wave, and at 200 hertz, which is typically what we can use, the wavelength is very large, 2 centimeters. This means that if you want to make image with shear wave, sending shear wave in the body with vibrator, forget resolution. 2 centimeters, it's a bad resolution. But, and there is a but, this is diffraction limit. Diffraction limit tells you that if you have a wavelength of some centimeter, it will be difficult to make super resolution. You are limited. But now, and this is what I will show you, now if you follow the shear wave with ultrasound that gives you a view every millimeter in the body, and if you can make a movie in 3D of the shear wave propagating in the body at each point with a very high resolution of millimeter, now you see all the evanescent component of the wave field. That is to say, you are a movie that shows you the near field of the wave. And now when you have this movie, you can make an inverse problem on this movie, and you can found back a resolution for the shear modulus of millimeter. This is the mixture of the two, I will speak of this. Now, what is ultrasound? Medical ultrasound, they don't see this. When you have an ultrasonic scanner, you don't see shear information. You send high frequency, and because of this, the human tissue is exactly like a fluid. That is to say, all the shear waves are stopped, and it is like you have only compressional wave, and everybody consider with ultrasound that the body is just fluid. It's not a fluid, as you know, all of you, but it's behave like a fluid for high frequency. You have only compressional wave, and they are very fast, this speed, and the fluctuation is very small. And you can make image, because at this, for this wave, the body is practically an inhomogeneous medium, but very weakly inhomogeneous, and you can make image with the resolution of the wavelength for the ultrasound. This is the basic image. And how do you do this image with ultrasound? I speak of ultrasound now. You use array of piezoelectric transducers, and you can have 128 transducers in a 1D or 2D way, and you use all these transductors. It is transducer in English, sorry. And you can send very short pulse, and with all the electronic you have, you can focus beam in transmit, focus beam in receive, and you can make image. And you use the basic, this is a typical array of transducer. Here you have 128 transducer, you put this on the body, and you will fire each transducer to focus in the body, and you move the focal point electronically. You send very short pulse. This is very basic. And you do beamforming in transmit and receive. You focus first in one point. You listen the echo, and you refocus in receive by doing beamforming in receive. And you move the spot in the body. And because compressional waves are very fast, you can do this very quickly. And you make an image. First, you make a spot. After, you make another spot, another spot, another spot. And you move spot by spot, and you make an image. And it is very fast. But when I say very fast, it is typically 50 images per second or 25 images per second, because you have to wait the time it comes back. This is the basic ultrasonic scanner, and it is very nice because it gives you real-time image. You can follow cardiac motion and breath, brief motion, and you can have nice image. And on this image, you see that there are a lot. This is a carotid artera with some plaque here, and there is, you can see this moving. And you see what is important is that everywhere you have all this speckle. And this comes from the fact that all the tissue are full of scatterers, and all these scatterers give you echoes, and all these echoes give you a noise, which is an acoustic noise, but this noise moves when the scatterer moves, and this is very important for us. And this is basic image. This is a liver, a kidney, and a liver. And here, this is a baby, and you have nice image. But on this image, no information on shear modulus. Only compressional modulus give you information. Forget shear. Now, if you want to measure shear, what you have to do is to send shear wave in the body. And now, if you are able to follow the shear motion by making successive ultrasonic image very fast, if you make 1,000 or 2,000 frames per second, for example, you can compare consecutive image by doing cross-correlation. And like this, you can measure the shear velocity in each point and deduce mu and Young modulus, if you want. Now, to do this, for example, if you have a wave moving at 1 meter per second, you will, and if you want to follow the wave step by step, you have to have at least 1,000 images per second. And nobody has this kind of scanner in the hospital. You do only 50 images per second. We decide to make an apparatus that gives us not 1,000 images per second, but 8,000. The maximum that we can have by using a time reversal mirror that we modify. And we used here our electronic setup, and we have an array, and instead of sending a beam that focuses in each point in transmit and move step by step in a sequential way, we just send a plane wave, check, a large plane wave. We record all the echo from all the scatterers, and because we have a lot of memory behind each transducer, we put all this in real time in a memory, and this takes only 200 microseconds to get 20 centimeters of tissue, the echo. And once you have done this, you make it again and again, and you can go very fast just by sending large waves that illuminate the body, and you record. Now, what you have is not an image when you have recorded all the echo. You have to do an inverse problem also. And once you have recorded, you send plane wave, you record the data, and you begin again, and you have a very huge memory. And once all this has been recorded at 5,000 frames per second, you go in the computer and you make back propagation in the computer to make the image. And this is the way our system works. And it's work, here it is just some idea of the image construction. After, in the computer, we do the backward propagation. It is a time reversal operation that we do by using cross-correlation technique. But this is very simple. Now what is interesting is the following. This is the apparatus here, all the electronic, and here we put a phantom with our probe. The phantom is a gelatin phantom with some wires. This is an image of this phantom with ultrafast technique. But now we give a punch on the phantom, and it makes shear wave that propagates, and we just look a zoom of a small part, and here you see at 1,000 frames per second in this movie, this is how the echo are changing. There are 5 wires, and here it is the back. It is the reconstructed image, and you see the wires moving from some microns. And once you have this kind of image, we call this an RF radio frequency image that you can have at very fast frame. You can compare 2 consecutive frames and measure axially the motion, and even you can, if there are transverse motion, you can make cross-correlation between image. We do this. Usually we just measure axial displacement by doing cross-correlation technique. And when we have this, now we have an apparatus. When you put the apparatus in the body, it gives 5,000 frames per second. You can cross-correlate. It gives you all the axial motion. And now you send shear wave. How to send shear wave in the body? Or you use vibrator, or you use just cardiac motion or voice that make, whoa, I send shear wave in my body. Or you use, and this is better, radiation pressure produced by ultrasound. It is a wind that you can produce in the body, and you will see how it works. First, we begin by sending vibrator. We can use, for example, 2 vibrators around the array. Each vibrator gives a punch. Why you use 2 rods to give a punch in the body? Because when you give a punch, if you look, the shear wave, the low frequency shear wave that you produce, it goes in some side lobes. And if you have 2 of this, the side lobes will interfere constructively here, and you can have strong motion in axially motion produced by the shear wave. And we can use this system that produces what we call the butterfly wave, and this is the apparatus that we use around the probe, and we can try different phantoms. For example, we have a phantom where there is a hard zone and a soft zone, 2 gelatin phantoms. We come with a probe, we give a punch, and now we make the movie of the axial displacement, and you see that the wavelength is changing when this shear wave propagates. This is in a phantom. Now we can have a phantom with a hard inclusion. We give a punch, and we make with a probe, we make the movie of a shear wave, which is low frequency, and you see here something that remains you, the hard inclusion. Of course, this is just a movie. But what is this movie? This movie follows this wave equation, if it is true that we are in an isotropic solid. And what is important is the following. All the compressional parts go very fast, at 1,500 meters per second. And you see here only the slow part, the shear part. That is to say, you can forget this term, and here what you see are components. Here it is the axial component, and the axial component of the shear wave, which is strange in some way, verify this wave equation. That is to say, here, the movie that you have gives you the axial component, you see the time derivative at the order 2, and you have a Laplacian here. And if you want to find mu, you have to measure the Laplacian from your movie. But you know only 2 components, because you have only, at this time, a plane image. That is to say, if you make the assumption that this derivative in the other plane is small, you can say this is the Laplacian. In this case, you can just make a local inversion algorithm. In every point of your movie, you measure locally the time derivative and the spatial derivative, and you divide. In fact, you do this point by point, but you can do this better. You can go in the, because you have a movie that have a long duration in time, you can go through Fourier transform, and you can select all the frequency that you have created in your spectrum when you give a punch, and you have to be careful with the Laplacian to be sure that it is not zero, and you work on this. When you work on this local inversion algorithm, For the two-layer medium, it gives you this image. This is the first part in kilopascal, and this is the second part. And you show that very nicely from the first movie I show you, we found back the shear modulus. For the other hard inclusion, you see that also we can see the shear modulus. Now, did the assumption that we make is good? It's not so sure, and we can verify this by doing directly in the computer a complete simulation with the elastodynamic Green function. And we simulated the medium with this, and we look, when we have a medium where the speed velocity was 2 meters per second, we simulated completely what is the actual motion that we have and the inversion. And we see that when we do the inverse problem, we make a lot of mistakes. These are diffraction effects, and you don't find everything is green when you make the assumption that you forget the axial derivative. Now, if you used the complete Laplacian, but this need to know not only one plane, but three planes, you have a good inversion. This shows you that we have a limit. Now we try also something else. Instead, we try to give a punch with the probe itself. This is the probe that gives a punch and not the two rods. And the simulation shows us that we shall find back a shear modulus which is not too bad in a large way. And I will not explain this too much because I want to go to the other things. And we use this. In fact, we use the probe directly on a vibrator and the doctor gives small punch. It is only 50 micron punch, and we make the movie on breast, and we have been working with 20 women. And when we do this, for example, let us look just a movie in vivo on breast. This is the axis. You give a punch, and these are the ribs of the woman here, and you see an actual motion, and you see that you have not even wavelength in your movie. That is to say, you see a shear propagating in the very near field, and when you have this, you go to the inverse problem algorithm, and from this, it gives you a shear modulus map here in kilopascal that gives you something. This is another woman which has also a large carcinoma, and you will see another inversion algorithm that show you that everything is not as the same hardness, but you don't see this here. It is the echographic image, and this is the shear image. And you see that it is quite interesting. The problem is that it is very heavy. The doctor cannot stay with this vibrator. We decide to improve this, and we decide to change completely the way to produce the shear wave. We decide to use the same probe that we use for imaging to produce the shear wave. How we do this? We use the non-linearity of the medium, that is to say, we focus first a very long sinusoidal wave of 100 microseconds here. And because of non-linearity of the medium, this produces an envelope which gives you a radiation pressure that push here. It is like you create a source of shear locally in one point with a focus wave. And when this source is created from this shear source, it creates a shear wave, and suddenly the same probe now is working in the ultra-fast imaging mode to follow the shear motion. Now we use the same probe to push and to look. And we can do this. First we have a pushing sequence, and after we have the ultra-fast imaging sequence, and we do this. First we push in one point, and we look on 40 millimeter what we produce. This is the shear wave that we produce, and we see clearly that we produce a dipole shear wave. The shear is very strong in this direction, but it's very small here. You create locally a dipole source of shear wave. Now, this is a spherical wave that decreases on 1 over r or 1 over square of r. That is to say, this cannot go very far. How can you produce a shear wave stronger than this? Before this, I just want to show you, we can compare this with the Green formalism, and the experiment and formalism is not bad. We can do also multi-push at the same position. And here you will see this. You will see all this push. This is shear wave that you produce at the same position. But now you can do better. You can do supersonic imaging. The idea is how to create a plane shear wave in the body. The idea is that because you can use ultrasound that goes very fast, 1,500 meters per second, to create locally a source of shear. It is like you create up very quickly a source. Now you decide to move this source and you just change your electronic. Your electronic go very fast and you create another source that move at a speed faster than the shear wave velocity. If you do this, you do this, this, this. And for example, if you move at 6 meters per second the source, sending a 2 meters per second shear wave, the resultant of this will be a beautiful conical wave that interferes constructively in the cone. And if you look all the polarization part, you will see that it works very nicely. Now let us look if it works. This is, we push at 6 meters per second in a phantom, and you see that we create now a conical wave that has an angle that depends on the Mach of the wave. Here we were at Mach 3, because we were pushing at 6 meters per second, and for in a medium where the shear velocity is 2 meters per second. Now, let us go at Mach 10. And here at Mach 10, you create another shear wave, another plane wave with another angle in the medium. Now, let us look what this gives here. This is a phantom with an inclusion. The echographic image don't see the inclusion. Shear modulus don't change anything for ultrasound. Now we work at Mach 3. We shall send a wave and look the movie. This is at 5,000 frames per second. And you see that the shear now is changing in the inclusion. Now we have this movie. We go to the inverse algorithm. It gives a first image like this here. Forget this part. This is the source part. We have to do only the inversion here. Now, we can improve this because this was very fast, 20 milliseconds to do this. Now we can change the angle, Mach 3, Mach 4, Mach 5, and we can make new illumination at different with different plane wave. It is like a tomographic system that creates shear plane wave. And now we can mixed from all this angle the image to obtain a better image where you have all the spatial component of your shear image. Now, we can also do Mach minus 3, that is to say, we can push first here and after here, but we can push first there and after here, coming back. Nothing for us. And in this case, you can create Mach wave with positive and negative speed, and we can go very far, and we can do a lot of basic physics on very high Mach. In fact, we can work till Mach 1000, and there are very funny effects which are called Cherenkov effect in electromagnetic physics that we can do in a very interesting way. I will not comment on this. Now, let us look something more funny. Well, we asked some young lady to accept to be examined with our system, but it was not at the hospital, I will tell you. And we do just first experiment on two women just to see if our system was working. And you will see just here, but there was no pathology here. This is the shear wave that we send. From this we make an inversion, and here you see some structure here that appears, but it was nothing pathological. But what was interesting here, that we found a mean elasticity of 1.4 kilopascal with small variance on one woman. On the other one, we have another movie, and from this movie we obtain something else, but the elasticity was not exactly the same, but we found this. But we are not yet with this apparatus in the clinical study of new pathology, but this will be done after. Now, this shows you that this is a nice system that allows you to obtain shear information, shear modulus information. Can we measure with this system only shear? There are many other things which are interesting. Viscosity. Can we measure viscosity by looking the absorption? Can we measure anisotropy? In this case, you have to measure polarization. Can you measure nonlinear effect? First, let us look. It is not this apparatus. We use the same electronic, but we do basic experiments. We don't use yet the supersonic source. Let us look if there is frequency dispersion in the medium. We produce here a pure shear wave, pure plane shear wave with this vibrator, and we use your ultrafast system. And we learn how to produce a pure shear wave of plane shear wave. And we just send it in and we just look, it's an important point that I want to show you. We just look if we can make a nice shear wave, plane shear wave. Here we show that with our system we produce in a gelatin phantom or in a piece of meat nice shear wave. Now, each shear wave, we can produce them at different frequency. And we can look the phase velocity and the absorption, because it will be interesting to know what kind of relaxation model is good for the body. And we do this, and we can measure the we can measure the velocity, the absorption, and we can do frequency by frequency. If you look in this kind of phantom, the velocity is practically constant versus frequency. There is no dispersion for the frequency, and if we look, the absorption, we have this. Now, in the literature, you found two kinds of models to explain the viscosity of a body. You found Maxwell solution and Voigt solution. That is to say, did the body is a Voigt solid or Maxwell solid? And there are a lot of controversy, and we work on this. And in fact, when you applied a stress, if you look at the strain, if it is a Voigt model, you have this dependence here. If it is a Maxwell model, you have this dependence. Now, if you work only at one frequency, this gives you an equation which is an Helmholtz equation in the two cases. And what you have here is not the same in these two cases, but it is always an Helmholtz equation. And now, this tells you that if a solid is a Voigt solid or a Maxwell solid, when you change the frequency, the way the sound velocity and the absorption change is not the same between these two models. And it will be interesting to know in the body what is the good model. And we have done this. For example, this was on the gelatin phantom. We found this and we compare the dependence of this. And we compare this with a Voigt model and with a Maxwell model. And what you see clearly is that the good model for gelatin phantom is a Voigt model. And we try this for on muscle, on piece of liver, and in all the cases, the frequency depends on the one of the Voigt model. And this is important for the future, because this show you that the good model for the future is this model where lambda and mu may be replaced by a lambda plus a coefficient here, and the mu also. And what are the new unknown which are interesting is this. And now, this was for an isotropic medium. But now, if you have an anisotropic medium, you will have an elasticity tensor and absorption tensor here. And now, did the body is anisotrope? And if you look the cardiac muscle, not the cardiac here, it's a piece of muscle, but it is true for cardiac. In fact, you are not in an isotropic medium. You are typically in the body, many parts of the body have the hexagonal symmetry. That is to say that you can send in this medium two kinds of shear wave, depending on the polarization. If the polarization is along the fiber or perpendicular, you have two shear waves that propagate with two different velocity. And we verify this. We do a lot of experiments, for example, on muscle. And when you create a polarization in this direction and you measure the shear wave that you create going inside, and when you change this angle, you see that the shear velocity varies between 10 meters per second for the low velocity to 29 meters per second. There is a strong anisotropy in the body, and what I have presented before was without this anisotropy. This shows you that anisotropy is a problem. Now, it will be important to measure anisotropy, but now you have also something interesting, non-linear propagation. That is to say, not only you can measure in the future the viscous term and the anisotropic term, this is important for the future, but non-linearity is also important. Why? Because when you send now high amplitude wave, you know that if you send this in a fluid, if you send a sinusoidal wave, it will be shock after some propagation distance. Now, if you send a longitudinal wave in a solid but very intense, the shock formation is of the same way for a longitudinal wave for a fluid. This is normal. It is always longitudinal wave. But when you send shear wave, how transverse wave propagate in solid in a non-linear regime? And we do a lot of experiments here. We used the system we have here with the ultra-fast imaging system. We move here, but we can increase the motion that we create. Instead of putting 50 micron, we put 500 microns, and we move this, and we look the wave we produce. And now, what we can do is to experimentally compare when we create this plane shear wave, what we receive here, at each position, what is the frequency, what is the wave that we receive. Here, on line number one, this is what we receive when we send small amplitude wave. Now, when we move with the electronic, we follow the motion at every depth. And here we see that you have always the same shape. If you go in the spectrum for low amplitude wave, it was typically 50 microns wave. Here you see that the spectrum remains always on one bump. Now, let us look if we now increase the shear wave. Now, if you look at one distance, what we observe, even if we send a sinusoidal wave, we observe this strange shape. Why we observe this shape? And now let us look this shape. It is moving in the body, and you see that we create a shock wave which has a very strong, a very funny behavior that people don't see usually. And now if you look at the spectrum, you will see that you create harmonics, but only odd harmonics. You don't create even harmonics. Why? This comes from the fact that if you send in an isotropic solid, first a longitudinal wave, first the strain and the stress are related by the Hooke law, but if you look what you have for longitudinal wave, when you make the nonlinear decomposition of your phenomena, the first, the relation between sigma and epsilon, you have to add a quadratic term. This tells you that the sound velocity depends itself of the speed, a particular velocity. That is to say, when you have a fast part who move at a large velocity, the sound velocity moves linearly with V. And this tells you that in the compression part where the sound velocity is very strong, you will go faster than in this part where it is slow. And this makes that for longitudinal wave, when you send it in the body, this makes, if you are in the referential of sound velocity, you see this is the basic nonlinear effect with longitudinal wave. But now, if you look, now if you look for transverse wave, in transverse wave, the first term that becomes important is the cubic term. And I will explain you after why. And this means that when you have a shear wave, when the shear wave is going positive, the speed of the wave changes, but it changes in the same way when it goes negative. There is no reason. It is not like for compressional wave. When you compress, the body becomes harder than when you depress. But when you go in this direction for a shear, in this direction, there is no reason to have this effect. And this makes that when you send this, the sound velocity depends on the square of the velocity here. And this means that if you look what happened here, you have this shape that you create. And this is the wave is shock. And now, this is interesting, why? I will conclude in some minutes. Because in the body, if you look, the body is very nonlinear. As you know, when you press more and more, it becomes harder and harder. Now, and you see this when you press of 1 millimeter, it's enough to see really that things are changing. Now, the true wave equation is always this Newton equation with this tensor, that the stress tensor that you have to look. Now, usually it depends on the internal energy. And usually we stop the development of the internal energy at the order. It's a quadratic energy that gives you a linear behavior. Now, in an isotropic solid, you have to know, you have, if you want to go at an order more, you have 3 lambda coefficients, which are a nonlinear coefficient. And when you have this, if you send a wave, this is a compressional wave, longitudinal wave. There is a beta. The beta is the nonlinear parameter which gives you the speed at which the wave changes slope. And this beta depends on A, B, and C. Now, this is when you send a plane wave. Now, when you send a shear wave, this is a Berger equation, and this is another Berger equation. Here, you see that the beta depends of mu and R. R is the nonlinear parameter. This is the main important nonlinear parameter. And in some way, here what we show is that if you are able to send just plane wave in the body, follow the harmonic generation, you can measure this R parameter, R being the nonlinear parameter, which can be very important to understand better the quality of tissue, but it is not easy. And just to conclude all this, well, this in fact you have nonlinearity plus viscosity both, which make a more complex problem, producing this. I just go through this. I just want to conclude here. Here, I have shown you first how to measure one component of the motion. It was the axial component by doing cross-correlation. We can improve our system. The ultra-fast imaging system can send not only a plane wave in this direction, but it can send plane wave in other direction. That is to say, we can, when we have a wave propagating in the medium, measure not only the axial displacement in one direction, but in two directions. And we improve the technique now to be able, when we send shear wave, for example, with a vibrator, we can not only measure the axial component, but the two components. And here, it's a movie where we show you at 5,000 frames per second both the longitudinal and the transverse displacement. The same apparatus can measure this. Now, this is with a probe, which is a 1D probe. It makes a 2D image. In this 2D image, we have two components of a displacement. Now, what is the future of this? The future of this is to use this with array which don't contain only one plane, but at least you can make the image of three plane. If you are able to make the image of three plane, which has close one from the other, you will be able to measure the three components of a displacement. Why it is important to measure the three components of a displacement? It is not important in an isotropic solid, but if you want to measure anisotropy, you will need to send the wave with radiation pressure or with vibrator. This wave will propagate, and if you are able to measure in the 3D volume the three components, you can do better inversion than what we are doing. You can do inversion where you take into account anisotropy. Now, you can also try to find back the viscous term, which are in an anisotropic medium also a tensor. And perhaps after, you can even try to look the harmonic generation to try to see if you can do some imaging of nonlinear parameter. Just to conclude, this shows you that we are very lucky with ultrasound because we are, it is the only kind of medium where you can have two waves that have such big difference of velocity. One ultra-fast wave, the compressional wave, and one ultra-slow wave. And you can follow one with the other. And this makes that even if a shear wavelength is quite big in the body, you don't care because you make the movie of the shear everywhere in the body with the resolution of ultrasound. You can also use NMR, and some people do what they call NMR elastography. They use NMR to measure the motion. They have a better precision that we have, but if you used NMR to follow a motion, you need to work only with sinusoidal vibrators, and it takes 5 minutes to be able to make the measurement of the amplitude and phase of the displacement everywhere in the body. This means that you need a body that don't move during 5 minutes. It is very difficult to have this only for skull and for breast. In some cases, you can do this. But with ultrasound, you can be very fast. It takes only 20 milliseconds to create the wave and to see it spreading in the body. And you record this, and all the motion body, you don't care. And from this, if we improve the inverse problem from the movie we have, if we have not only one component, but two components or three components, we can hope in the future to have a nice image of the interior of the body. Thank you.
set of scalar values. So because you will get a lot of components to construct. Then how it was done?
If it is an hexagonal medium, in fact, you need 5 constants for the elasticity in the medium. And if you work only at one frequency, you cannot make the inversion. But if you work at many frequencies, like in transient elastography, you can do the inversion. I don't know how to do this, but I hope somebody in the room will do this for us. In fact, there is a nice problem. You have the complete movie everywhere of the vector. You have, and it is no more polarization. It's more complex because it is not only one plane wave. You have all kind of plane wave. How from this movie locally, you make the inversion of the data? But you have one thing is interesting is that you have a movie during the time. That is to say, you see this at one time t0, t2, t1, t2, t3, and all this is better than just to see an amplitude and a phase, which is what you have in harmonic solution. And I don't know the solution. It's a good problem. George?
Could you say a few words about what the limits of the resolution limits of this are? You began in the beginning by saying that there's some noise in the background, but because of the motion, you can take out some of the spectrum. What, as you see now with the
I will say, we have this wavelength, typically 1 or 2 centimeters in the body. Now, we measure every 0.5 millimeter the motion. And from this, when we do the local inversion, in fact, we make some average. We don't measure, to measure the Laplacian, we have to go. And typically, at this time, I will say, our spatial resolution is of the order of 2 millimeters. But for the shear modulus. But I have not speak of the contrast of the shear modulus that we can see. This is a study that we are doing now. What is the smallest inclusion that we can see? And not only the size of the inclusion is important, but the shear modulus, this difference with the background. And we have no response yet. But what I can tell you is that carcinoma has typically a shear modulus which is between 10 and 50 times higher than the shear modulus of basic breast tissue. And in our experiment, we used Phantom, where we changed the shear modulus of a factor 2. And we see this very nicely. And I have the impression that it will be very discriminative. The problem is that for cancer pathology, it is not sure that shear modulus alone is enough, because you can have shear modulus very high, not only for carcinoma. You can have other kind of fibroadenoma would give this. This means that just the shear modulus is not enough to discriminate between bad and good tumor, I will say. Now, you can add other things, contrast agent and other things can be added to this, but a nice map of a shear modulus will be useful, certainly. Now, is it a good discrimination? It's not sure. But it can see small inclusion. We are looking now on microcalcification. If when there is a small microcalcification, which is not very easy to see with ultrasound, because microcalcification is a specular object that can send ultrasound in bad direction that you don't record. We want to see that if a technique is working well to see microcalcification. But these are small objects of typical 2 millimeter size.
There's one thing I miss, which is how do you measure you inside your body?
Ah.
Because when you make your movie, you say, I have you everywhere.
No, I know, it was fast. No, you remember, I make image of a body 5,000 times per second. I have this image, one over the other, one for each time. Now, each image represents the speckle noise coming from all the scatterers, and the depth, and the time of arrival of the echo is the depth. When it's moved, the image changes. And what we do is that we put in all the image small windows, and we compare 2 consecutive images to see from by cross correlation from how much move the speckle. And we just use the speckle noise coming from the body. It is a noise, but it's come from scatterers. And we use this, and we cross-correlated two consecutive images in small windows at each depth, every millimeter. And this gives you, it is like a Doppler technique, but it is more sophisticated than Doppler. It is like you see how it is cross-correlation technique. And we can measure the axial displacement, but if you have also image going in this direction, we can measure also displacement in this direction. And like this, we can have a vector. Typically, what we measure here, with ultrasound, you can measure motion of 1 microns, axial motion of 1 micron. Even the wavelength is 300 microns. When you do cross-correlation, it is like an interferometer. You can measure very small. When you compare two signals that have shifted one from the other from a small amount, you can see this. And typically, with ultrasound, we can measure internal motion of 1 microns, that is to say, between 1 micron and 100 micron, all this motion, we can follow them. But what we need is to be very fast to follow this 5,000 frame per second.
And so when you calculate this coefficient mu by this fraction, you do some regularization that you convolve your stuff.
Yeah. We average, we convolve, yeah. There are a lot of tricks that we do. I think Joyce will speak of the general inverse problem and this kind of data, but we were not very mathematician when we attack this problem. We just know that we have a movie everywhere of one component, and we say this movie verifies a classical wave equation, and we locally inverse the wave equation. We are no more in a regime where we record the data coming from far of us. We look the data inside, and it is we have not the back propagation to do. We have just a local inversion to do. Yeah.
Two questions relating to the nonlinearity, and one of them I may ask Chris. What's the current state of the art in doing the inverse problem for the cubic and quadratic nonlinear coefficients?
In the body or in?
Yeah. Once you have this the data for the harmonic iteration.
I think nobody has tried to do this. It is in our lab, Stéphane Catlin and Jean-Luc Génisson. We have done this work. We have done this work to see the. We just publish. We publish in 1 month in PRL, Physical Review Letters. We shall publish the shock wave in shear, the shear shock wave. It is not known by people what I show you on the shear. Non-linearity. This is, there was just a Russian mathematician, Zabolotskaya, who has done some theory long time ago with a Landau coefficient, and she goes till the fourth order. And we do the experiment, and we see that this happened. But there is nothing published on this yet.
Thank you. Well, the other question was, you seem to only observe the cubic non-linearity. And just before that, you talked about the fact that the body really is anisotropic. And one usually expects that you don't see the quadratic nonlinearity in an isotropic medium. You would expect to see the quadratic nonlinearity.
Sure. Okay, it's a very good question. The experiment I show you was on a gelatin phantom, which is an isotropic solid. We do careful analysis of shear propagation at high amplitude in an isotropic solid. And we see the cubic nonlinearity. Now, if we take a muscle, a piece of muscle, it is not no more true. And we are looking to this, but it is very complicated. Yeah, we are trying to do two different things in the lab. One thing is very practical, to make an apparatus to make fast image. And another part of the group is working on producing nice shear wave with nice well-known condition and to see how they change when they propagate. But it is more plane wave. But of course, in the reality, you never create plane wave. You have not a piece of meat like this, which is uniform. But it will give us some more knowledge after to improve the technique. But we need help of mathematicians to see how in the future for an anisotropic nonlinear viscous medium, if you map everything everywhere at every time, can you do the inversion? But knowing inside the medium the data.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.
Our next talk is by Joyce McLaughlin.